hear us. And Lord, knowing that you're the great God of all comfort and mercy. And we lift up Dan's family to you now, Lord, as they plan the funeral for him. And Lord, just be with them, bring great comfort. But Lord, we're so thankful that with great assurance, we know that he is home with you. And we know that he has already seen and talked and celebrated and rejoiced with his mom. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for all the people, Lord, that we're praying for James and his family, Lord, for Lonnie and Abigail and Adam and Shannon, all the family, Lord. For each person that's here this morning, those that are listening live, I pray that if there's anyone who doesn't know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, oh, Lord, before this day is over, before this service ends, we claim them for the kingdom of God. Now, we love you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John this morning. We're going to be in chapter 4, beginning, probably verse 43. And we're coming to, there's the second sign, if you will, of the seven signs of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus did many, many signs, but John, led by the Holy Spirit, selected seven on purpose that he wants us to study out. Remember, the first sign was at the wedding of Cana, and where Jesus turned the water to wine, and that was a request by his mother. And then now, the second sign that we learn today happens with a nobleman in the family, okay? His son is very, very ill, so it's a request by the father. You know, we live in a society today that, you know, they believe this. Seeing is believing. You know what I mean? If I see it, I can believe it. Well, you know, I'm going to share something with you that I did not have the faith to share with the first service. And the reason is because I knew they just didn't have the heart. They couldn't take what I was about to share with. But the second service, you guys are strong in faith. And yes, and so I know the things that I'm about to share with you, you're going to be able to make it, okay? First service, let's forget about them for right now. Listen very carefully. Now, everyone has a hairbrush, amen? If you have hair, all right? Now, listen carefully. One hair follicle can hold 50,000 germs. Everybody shake their hair real quick. Yeah, and after the bristles on a hairbrush are damaged, did you know that they can scratch the scalp and cause you to have an infection? Here's a great one here. Mattresses. We excrete 1/2 pint of moisture from our bodies every night into the bed, the mattress, when we sleep, and 1 pound of skin scales annually. And you know what that skin does? It's food for the mites that are in the mattress, okay? Dust mite waste, how's that one, also leaves people with stuffy noses and sinusitis and so forth. And here's a great one. A new pillow doubles in weight every 3 years. I didn't know that. Every 3 years it doubles in weight, and here's the reason. Thanks to the remains of the dust mites that build up inside. Listen, I'm talking about, Oh, no, does that bother you? Now, listen, sleep well tonight, okay? Some of you are probably not a lot, but you might be like me, kind of germophobic. You know, I go to a restaurant, for example, and they have the big handles or even the little ones. And I know it's weird, but I stop and I wait. I look at the handle. I say, okay, do you want to use my little finger? Which part do you think hasn't been touched a lot? You don't do that? Or if you go to QT, and to fill up with gas, do you first go get the paper towel and then put on the handle and take it out and put it in your gas tank? Or take your little handkerchief? Do that in front of truck drivers. They love that. So you don't do that? Well, here's the thing. You may say, okay, Bill, you know what? I would have to see all those little mites, you know what I'm saying, to believe. Well, you say seeing is believing. No, listen to me. Believing is seeing. Seeing is not believing. I'm talking about Bible. I'm talking about the Word of God. You see, everything that I'm facing and you're facing in your life, I see it, but it's subject to change. It's my circumstances are not going to remain. Are you following me? Everything I see, whatever, it could be financial, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be anything, children, what prodigals, whatever it might be. The thing is, seeing is never believing. Because if you're focusing on that, you're only focusing on what you see, and everything that we see is subject to change because the world that we live in is temporal. Everything is constantly changing. But when we say, okay, we're going to change that to where believing is seeing, now that changes everything as we begin in verse 43 this morning. It says, now after 2 days, Jesus departed from there, meaning Samaria, where the woman at the well was, all right? And he went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country, meaning no reception. They wouldn't receive him into Nazareth, in other words. So Jesus said, I'm going elsewhere. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen, past tense, having seen all the things Jesus did in Jerusalem at the feast, or literally the feast of Passover, all the signs, all the miracles, all the wonders that occurred there at Passover in Jerusalem. That happened in chapter 2, remember. And it said here, it said, for they had also gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. That was his first sign. Now, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, from Cana to Capernaum is about a 22-mile distance. The word nobleman here, literally in the Greek, would read the king's man. So whether he was a royal officer that was under Herod Antipas, the tetrarch at that time, or maybe a very high, high up official, we don't know. But we know this. He was rich. He was powerful. He called the shots. And not only that, he also loved his son, his little child, dearly. And it says, and when the nobleman, when he heard that Jesus has come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him, implored him to come down and heal his son. And here's the reason, for he was at the point of death. He was nearly dead. Verse 52 tells us that it was a horrible fever that had caught, that is the reason it was killing him. Now, he said he heard. This nobleman heard something. He heard from other people that Jesus was healing the sick, that Jesus was, miracles were coming from him, and so forth. And so he says, I'm going there. I'm going to get him, and I'm going to bring him home and to my son. So the father believed with all of his heart, I believe, that Jesus could heal his son by the report of others. The problem was, is that in order to do so, Jesus was going to have to come to his home 20-some-odd miles away. That wasn't going to work out. Arthur Pink said this. He said, it is well when trouble leads a man to God instead of away from God, and affliction is one of God's medicines. Verse 48. And then Jesus said to the nobleman, he says, unless you people see, you see that word? Very important word. See signs. Unless you people see signs, unless you people see wonders, you will by no means believe. Boy, and that's kind of a hard thing to say to a guy whose son is near death. Do you understand? I mean, is there compassion in that? Listen to what Jesus is doing. When he says you, he's not just speaking to the Father, because you is plural in the Greek. He's speaking to everybody that is present. You see, the people were saying this. They were saying, well, seeing is believing. I believe because I see what he's doing. In other words, they were placing a condition upon our Lord in order for them to believe. I see the signs. Okay, I'll believe in you. But if I don't see any signs, I'm not going to believe at you at all. In other words, Jesus was looking, even as he is today, for someone who doesn't expect some visible manifestation to occur. Oh, yeah, I see a sign. I see a wonder. Now I'm going to believe in him because I can touch him. I can feel him. I can see him, whatever it is. And then the nobleman said to him with deep respect, that word, sir, deep, tender respect, sir, and let me add to Scripture, I don't know anything about signs and wonders. I'm not here to debate this. I don't even know how to put a theological argument together. He says, sir, listen. He said, come down. Those words from this nobleman about his son to Jesus are so tender. Come down. That's in the Greek, it's continuous, okay? Meaning over and over and over, he's begging Jesus, please come down. Please come down. Please come down. He said, before my child, or literally my little dear one, so we know he's a small little boy, before he dies, before he is gone forever. You know, when a parent has a child that is ill and in the hospital, I'll tell you, there's nothing harder on a parent, amen, to see their little one there, especially if they're horribly ill. You know, and as I told the early service, you know, I had the privilege of being on the chaplaincy board there at Cook Children's Hospital for 7 years. Some of the greatest people I ever met in my life, doctors, nurses, the staff. And we took care of what was called then the PCIU ward. And that was the second floor. And all the children on the second floor, they were dying. And the doctors worked, I mean, nonstop. And so this church, if you remember, we took food, remember, every Monday. And the Cook Children's called it Love Never Fails Monday. And we would come in, and then we did it twice a day. We did it at noon, and then we did it also at 7 at night. And then we met, remember, and we developed there at Cook's. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened in that hospital for children. We developed what was called the prayer bears. And remember how this church here, we enlisted every church who would join us in the DFW area, Dallas-Fort Worth, Metroplex, joining us. And we had the list of names that Cook Children sent every day to us. And we would send them out to all the churches, and they would be praying over the children that were dying and their parents. And we would walk in and give them that prayer bear, and then tell them how many people were praying for them. And I'll never forget Ann Miller, who was over all of that, a lovely lady. I don't know if she's still there or not, but she said, Bill, as we go into these rooms now, the parents are in there and we're getting ready to pray over those kids. And he says, listen, if you tell that mom or that dad to fall down and worship that trash can, and their child will be healed, Bill, they'll do it. And I said, what? Ann said, Bill, they'll do it. They'll do anything to save their children. Their hearts are broken. That is the condition of this man who was a real person 2,000 years ago, no different than any parent that's in this chapel this morning. And he says, listen, I'm not here to debate, Lord. Sir, I don't know a lot about you. He said, but listen, I just need you to come down to my house. I need you to come down immediately. That's what the dad said, come down. But Jesus said, I'm not coming down, as we will find. Now listen very carefully. Don't try to tell God how to be God. Everything that Jesus does, every delay in your life and in this man's life is absolutely perfect. Jesus is never late. He is always on time. Your prayers that are answered, they're answered exactly to the moment that you need them answered and not a moment before. Jesus will never let you down. He will never relax his hold upon you. But you know what? Jesus said, listen, I'm God. You're not God. I'm not going down. Are you with me? Very important that we see that, because we always say, Lord, well, if you'll do this. No, no, no. Let's not be like Mary and Martha. Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, no, I delayed, you know. I hung out down there for 3 or 4 days. I wanted to make sure he was really dead. Mary, Martha, didn't I tell you, if you'd only believe, if you only had a little faith, that you would see the glory of God. Amen. Listen, Jesus never makes a mistake. He's God. He knows every need in this chapel right this minute, every hurt. He knows every sin. He knows everything about us, and he loves us. He died for us, and he is going to come for us one day. Amen? Now, with all that being said, here he goes, and Jesus says, you know what? I'm not going to come down, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you not a sign, but I'm going to give you the greatest thing that I can give you. I'm going to give you a personal word from my very own lips. Look what he says in verse 50. And Jesus said to the nobleman, go your way, your son lives. Listen, that's six words from the mouth of God. Amen. Now listen, the moment, the very second that Jesus said that, all the way down 22 miles or 20, whatever it is, away, his little boy was instantly restored to absolute perfect health. Are you with me? Okay, very important that we know that. Now watch this. Go your way. Your son lives. And look what the man did. So the nobleman believed, and look what he believed. He believed the word. He believed the word. Say that with me. He believed the word that Jesus spake unto him, and he went his way. Now listen to me. This is the one of the, I love that scripture. I love this section. This is one of the greatest scriptures in the Word of God to me. In other words, a command from the lips of our Savior without any evidence, without any evidence at all. He had absolutely nothing to go on, nothing to go on except the words of Jesus. Now that's what I call faith, amen? Just, you see, believing without seeing. I just believe, Lord. You said it, I believe. I believe, you mean, I'm just gonna trust you at your word. That's it, I believe your word. Listen, seeing isn't believing. It's believing is seeing. Are you with me? Very important to see that this morning. This man believed that the word, those six words from Jesus, were enough. Do you? Do you believe his words are enough? Do you believe that your Bible, God's word spoken, God breathed, here they are, they're all alive, they're all powerful, they're all sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you believe them? That's what we have to ask ourselves this morning. It says, go your way, your son lives. Go your way, the command. Listen, that's what you call obedience. Can you imagine just there you're the nobleman and there are the words and go your way. Get out of here now. It's your son's alive. He's well. He's whole. Go your way. That's what we call obedience. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? You see, whenever he went forth, something happened. See, doing is believing. Amen? Is that correct? Doing is believing. James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A doer of the word. See, that's what it means. See, doing here is believing. True believing in the word of God, in the lips of our Savior, always requires action on our part. So many people today in the 21st century, the Christian, well, they just live off hearing. But you can't do anything if you just hear and not do. You see, hearers, you know, they say, yeah, it's true and right that we need to love one another and help one another, but we don't do it. They're just hearers. They say, yeah, it's wonderful that we're to forgive one another and to serve or whatever, but they just don't do it. They say, you know what? They say, yeah, hearers say every word of God is true. They acknowledge it, a mental assent, but in their hearts they don't obey it. Why? They're deceived. They're not doers. They're only hearers. Listen to me now. When that nobleman departed, that's when he trusted. Had he not departed, would his son have been healed? I don't believe it. You see, the moment that you obey God, you step into the power of God. Amen? His commandments are always our enablements. And the moment he said, okay, go your way, he started going instantly. It worked. And the boy, the little boy, was healed. You know, St. Augustine said this. He said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. And boy, very soon this guy's going to see the reward of his faith. So Jesus just said the word. That was enough for him. Distance has no obligation with the Lord. He said it, and the boy was healed. You know, he just sent his word, if you will, and he was healed. The Bible says in Psalm 107:19, it talks about the children of Israel. It says this, and they cried out, or literally they prayed to the Lord in their trouble, And God saved them out of their distress. Listen carefully. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Listen, whatever God says is going to happen. Amen? That's why Isaiah 55, 11 says this. God says, so shall my word, the word that proceeds from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When God says it, it is done. It is settled. Amen? Man, God is God. He's a creator. He is everything. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. I challenge you, and I do it lovingly. Have you learned, believer, in the 21st century church, we need this. Have you learned that God's word can never fail? Never fail. It will never fail. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Peter cried out, the word of God, it endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. Boy, when God says something, it is settled because he is God. The world says seeing is believing. You know, I have $100 in my bank account. I know it's there. I believe it because I see it. Well, listen, my Bible teaches me, and your Bible should be teaching you, that believing is actually seeing. Amen? Just by believing what God says. Listen, the church of the living God, that's us today. We should not be moved by what we see. Doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter how much we're hated. It doesn't matter. We should never be moved by what we see, and we should never be moved by what we feel. We should be moved by what it says in God's word. When God says, I am for you, this I know, saith the Lord, I will help you. Listen, that's a word. That's a living word from God. Dear Lord, we should say, what do we have to worry about? God is going to help us no matter what we're facing. No matter what we're facing. No matter what it is. No, someone said this. They said about the Lord. Says, listen, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word of God says about them. God is everything the Word says he is, and we need to get acquainted with him through the Word. Listen, did you know that you can't really know God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, know them, gnosko, know them intimately, unless you know God's Word? Because it tells you all about him. Amen? That's why it's so important. Like Pastor Chuck always said, you can't know God the Father or Jesus the Son without going into the Word of God. That's where it's revealed who he is and what he desires for us, how much he loves us, and what kind of Father he really is. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight, not the things that we see, the temporal things. Loved one, listen, so many years, from the very beginning of my pastorate, the moment I started preaching, and you could go to my office right now and open one of my early, early Bibles, and you know what you're going to find printed in the very first, when you open it up? It's going to say this. Every battle we face in life, there's only one battle. We have a lot of battles, but there's only one battle that we face in life, and that is, can we build our life on the integrity of God's Word? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. We can build our lives on the integrity, on the faithfulness of God's word, because God cannot lie. Amen? Oh, God's word is so good. See, a lot of people, well, Bill, I quote God's promises, and that's great. But do you believe the promises of God that you are quoting? Faith has taken such a weird turn in our lifetime, you know. You know, faith is a force, or faith is, you got to confess, repetitive confession, and or faith is some type of mental ascent or whatever, or faith in your faith. No, that doesn't make sense. Every person, whether they are lost or whether they are a believer, every person has faith in something. You can have it in your education or your bank account or whatever it is. But the problem with that is the people who have faith in the world, the object of their faith is so limited and so unworthy. We, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ, amen? Hebrews 12:2, the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen carefully. The nobleman believed in Jesus. He believed that he was a healer. The Bible tells us very clearly what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. Say that last word, substance. That word means the foundation. The faith is the foundation. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the title deed. Faith is the guarantee. Faith, just believing. I don't see it, I know, but you see, believing is seeing. Are you with me? That's what we have to understand. It's opposite of what the world says. No, faith is a substance. It is the assurance. It is a confirmation of things. What things? The things that God has promised in the book, of things hoped for, and it is the evidence or the proof, the certainty of things not seen. See, believing is seeing. You know, you've heard me say this many times. How many people in here have seen Jesus face to face? Don't raise your hand. Do you understand me? You mean you believe in someone you have never seen? Yes. Yeah, I do. I know he's real. You mean, well, have you been to heaven? No. Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? The Bible tells me that Jesus is preparing a place for me there. Do you follow me? See, we let the Word of God give our answer. I've never seen heaven. Oh, but I will. By how? I've already seen it with the eye of faith. It's already there. How do you know your sins are forgiven? God told me they were. I know, but do you really know that? How does God love you? How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me that God so loved the world, and I'm part of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. See, here is the living Word. Amen? This is the sent word from God to us. This is his love letter, no different than the nobleman, go your own way, your son liveth. No difference. It's the absolutely, it is the same. So the world, they say, oh no, believing, seeing is believing. No. We don't look at it that way. Everything's subject to change out there. But God's word never changes. God never changes. Amen? So I can say, oh no, believing God's word, that's seeing. That's exactly what Noah did in Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, remember, not seen, he was moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. In other words, he believed God. He believed what God told him. Go out there and build an ark. He didn't go, well, what's an ark, Lord? God gave him all the measurements, everything he needed. Amen? Amen? He says there's going to be a flood. Noah didn't go, a flood. Can you give me a little bit more information? I've never heard that word before. It's going to rain, Noah. It's going to rain. Rain. Okay, rain. That's a new word too. It's never rained before. Can you give me a little bit? Are you listening to me? He had never seen any of those things. He had never seen an ark. He had never seen a storm, rainstorm, lightning. He had never seen the oceans of the deep, the brown open up and water gushing out. He had never seen any of those things. Seeing is believing. No. Believing is seeing. He believed the word of God. He saved his family, and by faith, he condemned every person living in the world at that time. Only 8 people were saved. He believed. Can you imagine condemning, what, maybe 5, 10, 15 million? How many people? He condemned every person. Every person. How? I believe God. They were all telling him, Noah, listen. Noah, you know, 120 years. Can you imagine, Noah, you're nuts. Come on. It's going to rain. It's never rained. We've never had a problem like this. Why are you building an ark on dry ground and the animals are going to come to it, into it? Oh, Noah. Noah, he said, no, you understand. I believe what God said. And by believing, I see. You see, the world says, I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. and they were all screaming whenever the door was shut. Are you with me? Now, how about Moses? When it says that Moses in Hebrews 11, 26, it says, Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For Moses looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here it comes. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Listen to what he did. Moses turned his eyes away from the scene, the treasures of Egypt. He turned his eyes away from that to the thing he could not see, and he believed. You see, believing is seeing. How important that is. You know, just look at the world that we live in. I mean, my gosh, isn't it amazing that, I mean, our world, it was just spoken into existence? You ever think about that? You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, 3, by faith we understand, scientists don't, but we do, that the worlds were framed or set in motion, here it comes, by the word of God. God, let there be light, light was. Are you following me? Now, it says, so that the things which are seen, the things that we see out there right now, sun, moon, stars, whatever, the earth, the water, the trees, the things that are seen are not made of things which are visible. Why don't you wrap your head around that one? I mean, we can look out there, you know, I mean, this morning at 5:30, Becky said, oh, honey, go outside and look at the sunrise. Look at how red it is. And so I went out there and I looked and I said, oh, it was so beautiful. And the moon was still up a little bit. You know, I mean, I don't have to have faith to know that those things exist. But to say that they were made out of things that did not exist, that you just speak a word, God just spoke a word, a living word, let there be light. Light was. That's pretty tough. When's the last time you made something out of nothing? No. We know how it happened. It says in Psalm 33:6, by the word, the words that come from God. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and the host of all of them. By the breath of his mouth, let all the earth fear the Lord. Amen to that. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of God. Why? Well, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Just think of, I mean, how about the waters and all the living creatures in the waters and all the birds of the air? You know what happened? Listen to this. God said there in Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth, above the face of the firmament. He just said it, and it happened. I mean, can you imagine? God said it, and immediately the earth started the waters just swarming with all kinds of living creatures. I mean, does that blow you away? Listen, when was the last time that you really got serious and said, you know what? I'm going to investigate just one teaspoon of water. Just one little teaspoon of water. Not drinking water, but let's go out here to Lake Worth, okay? Or Lake Grapevine. Or if we have any faith, go to the Trinity River. You know what I mean? And just take one little teaspoon, one little drop of water. Did you know if you put that under a microscope, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that one drop of water can hold 500 million microscopic creatures. Have you ever swallowed lake water? No, when I read that, I had to go into counseling. You know? I mean, think about that. Now, listen to that. 1/2 billion microscopic protozoan can live comfortably in a single drop of water. A single drop of water. Lake water. Yeah, not the stuff that comes in out of the faucet. Think about that for a minute. I mean, did you know that if you put some of them, a lady at the first service going, oh man, we put, like you said, under the microscope. My kids are terrified. Did you know that some of those, if you looked in some of those little microscopic things are carnivorous? Did you know some of them have 200 stomachs? Did you know that some of them have teeth, saliva, and glands? Let's go to the lake. Hey, listen, and they're I know after looking in the microscope, they're either a Democrat or Republican. Okay? And the reason I think they're Republican, because one was texting, okay? No. I look at this and I go, dear Lord, think about that. You know, I was reading this. This is true. Now listen, I'm talking about seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. You know, I have read an article, you know, on science. I love to read about science, you know. And just yesterday, when I saved the picture, it was so horrifying, I couldn't believe. I thought somebody was making it up. Anyway, I looked at this picture, and I could not believe. And then I watched the video. Man, listen, I was walking around, you know, just scratching on my body. I'm afraid to go outside, you know. Why? Well, because they're called tardigrades. Anyone ever heard of that word, tardigrades? Yeah, it says they're also known as the water bear. They're tiny aquatic animals. I mean, they're so you can't even see them. And it says, and they survive in extreme conditions. They have been since the beginning of time. Listen, and they can even, they took them up into outer space, NASA, and they put them outside the spaceship. I don't know how they do that, but they put them out. Do you know how long those little water bears survived out in outer space? 12 days. I mean, how does that happen? They're everywhere. They're here. They're in this room probably. You know, not listen. You go, when you climb a tree, they're in trees. You walk on moss. They're called moss piglets. What a name. Moss piglets. And you look it up. You go, if you look at that picture that's in the science thing, just Google it and look at it. Watch it. I promise you that you're going to repent of your sins when you see that. You say, Bill, why did you say all that? Because we live in a world where seeing is believing. But Christians should be living in a world where believing is seeing. This is the word of God. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question, and I say it with love and tenderness. Is the things that God says in his word, the things that Jesus says in his word, is it really enough for us? Is it really enough for you? Do you really, listen, you know how you find that information out? God has sent his word. Here it is. It's alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, powerful, active, the whole bit. Listen, you know how you do it? You open up your Bible. You know, for Jesus, if we just read one scripture, if we were the nobleman back 2,000 years ago and Jesus looked at him, he could have said this in Matthew 6:25. Jesus could have just said, listen, therefore I say to you, he's really saying it to us today, but therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Your life, birth to death, A to B, and everything in between, all the physical, all the spiritual, all the material, all the emotional needs that you have. Jesus said, do not worry about your life. But how many Christians are falling apart with worry? But you don't understand. Jesus said it. He spoke it. Why not act upon it? You see, the nobleman, you know, go your way, thy son liveth. Listen, this is no different. Jesus said, listen, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And who by worrying can add 18 inches to its height? No one. Worry doesn't pay off. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, and all these things will be added unto you, whatever life that you need in life. Amen. Look, take a good look. Open your eyes. If you see things, if you want to look and say, okay, I believe when I see it, Jesus said, open up your eyes. Go out there and look at the birds. They're not working. They're not toiling. They're not doing any of those things. No, listen, if you come to my house, I promise you, or I can go to your house and we could walk outside and there could be a blue jay. And we could walk up to the blue jay and say, oh, he looks worried. I have never seen a worried bird. Hey, I mean, have you ever said, I'm worrying, man. I'm a woodpecker. No, I've never seen a bird worry. Never. Bill, you're being silly. I'm being honest. You know, the birds come to my house. I have one of those, where they take bird bath. Thank you. It's a word of prophecy, see? Had a word bath. I told somebody yesterday, I said, I forget who it was. They were leaving my office, and I said, you don't need a facelift. You need a faith lift. Amen. That's what we need at the church. Now, bird bath? You know, listen. I mean, those birds. I bought. That's my bird bath. I put the water in there. That's my water. I pay for that. They don't fly and go, oh, there's a toll. You know. They don't do that. They go, hey, there's some water. Hey, there's some food. When that adopted renegade cat that lives at my house now, you know, when we feed him, he eats outside, sleeps outside. He's a cat. Man, and that food's there, he goes to sleep down here, and guess who flies in and eats his food? The birds. Yeah, they would say, let's just wait till the cat sleeps. We got it made. They're not worried. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, listen to me. We have a direct word from the Savior of the world. Do not worry about your life. The question is, do we really believe it? Whenever Paul cries out, he says, be anxious. Don't be torn apart. Don't be pulled in different directions. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known unto God. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the prayers of the saints are God's delight? Do we really believe that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous? Do we really believe that God will answer our prayers, that God is for us, and that he will never leave us, that he will never, ever forsake us? Listen, we have to finally say, no, seeing is not believing. I know where I stand. I know I don't have a job. I know that I'm ill. I know that my kid's in trouble. I know I have a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter. I know everything. But I tell you what, everything that I just said is subject to change in the believer's life. Everything is, that's why the Bible says, oh no, believing what God says. Believing is the result, then we'll be seeing what God says he would do. That's why God is so good. One scholar says this, he says, it's faith alone in Christ alone, which alone moves God, and when you are alone. You know this scripture I'm about to quote with all of your heart, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. Not difficult or not hope so. No, no, no. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Impossible. Think of that word. Impossible. It means unachievable. Jesus is looking for a church, his church, that will rise up and, you know what? Listen to me. And laugh at the impossible things in life. Why? We have God. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything, the word impossible is not in his vocabulary? What did an angel tell Mary in Luke 1:37? He said, with God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. All things are possible. Ephesians 3:20, what did Paul write to us as he was closing out? He said, oh, listen, for God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us to glory for his church forever and ever. Oh, listen, God is so good to us. Listen, the cry of Jesus today, I know in the 21st century, is this. Jesus, believe. Expect great things. Why? We have his promises. We have his word right in front of us. Jesus there, after he cursed the fig tree in Matthew 17:20, he said this to the disciples. He said, it is certain. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, and that's the smallest herb, you could put it in your hand, you couldn't even see it. You will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. You see, believing is seeing. We're always going to meet a mountain that's going to challenge our faith. That's what happens in life, loved one. When, you know, unbelief will steal from you. Remember when in Mark 9:23, whenever Jesus, the Father brought his demon-possessed son to the Lord. He said, Lord, the demon throws him into the fire, throws him into the water. And Jesus says unto him, he says, listen, if you can believe, if you can trust me, if you can rely on me, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Do you really believe that? I believe it. I believe that we should expect great. great things every day, that our hearts should be so in tune with the moving of the Spirit of God. How he loves us, how he wants to be whatever that's going on, or leading us and guiding us. Listen, Jesus told us in Mark's gospel about how unbelief is a thief. It'll rob from you. It'll steal from you. It's the opposite of faith. Jesus said, listen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he say will be done, he shall have whatever he says. Listen, the world says seeing is believing. My Bible, your Bible says, no. Believing is seeing. You know, I've shared this with you probably many times over the last 25 years here at this church. But you know, for the last 3 days, the last 3 days of my prayer time, it's like God is taking me back and all the things that he's done for me, my family, and the miracles and all the rest of the things. And it's like I just sit and dwell on them, and it's like I'm in awe all over again. And you know, I was praying this morning, and I was thinking, and I shared it with Rebecca, my wife, on the way home. I waited at church this morning. I said, "Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day when I ran into our bedroom 5:30 in the morning?" And she said, "Yes, Bill, I remember." I said, "Oh, how wonderful! You see, we were losing our home, and we were 3 months behind. And the Lord had told us to leave our first pastor. We had no money, but we had equity in our home. And I had a little tiny for sale sign out front of our home, and because I couldn't afford to hire a real estate person because it would eat up all of our equity. And we needed that money because we didn't have any money. 3 months went by and that house was not selling, and you know how they get the notices and they call, we're going to take your home. You know how mean they can be. You know what I'm saying? And what a loser I felt like. I mean, couldn't provide for my family. I'd always provided, going to the ministry, I can't provide nothing. You understand? And I'd received this letter in the mail. This is early 80s, okay? And you know, and inside of it was from an evangelist about giving and all that. And there was a hand in there, and it just says, "Lay your hand in my hand, and let's come to agreement, whatever your need may be, and I'll be believing with you that God's going to help you." Well, anyway, so I look at that, and I just want to, you know, burn it or something, okay? And so anyway, it was on the front kitchen table. I got at 5:30 in the morning. I get up, and I had a cup of coffee. And I sat there. The lights were off except for one little tiny light that was shining there on the kitchen table. And I was actually, there was no faith in my heart. I was actually weeping. Whew. And I said, "What are we going to do? As God is my witness." The Holy Spirit said, "Put your hand on that hand." It's a cartoon thing, guys. Do you understand me? It was a hand there. Just do it. Just put your, you know, and I said, I thought, well, then I'm going crazy. I have lost it. I mean, you can't even imagine how I felt. But as God is my witness, son, put your hand there and pray. I laid my hand on that stupid little piece of paper. And I said, "Father, please help me." The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And now listen, he said, "Today, your house will be sold." I got up out of that table, kitchen table. I ran to the back bedroom, 5:30 in the morning, woke up my wife. I said, "Honey, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I put my hand in that hand on the table. You're not going to believe, you know." And I said, "Listen, God said the house is going to sell today." Her eyes were about this big around. And in other words, that she was saying, "Oh, Bill, the cheese has slid off the cracker. It's gone." Do you understand? No, I know. Now, listen, this is true. This is, God is my witness. And there I was. Listen, 5:30 in the morning. I had these little shutters on the inside of my kitchen window that opened up to the house. Now, listen, we lived on a hill, and it was a dead-end street. Are you listening to me? A dead-end street away from the city, little bitty for sale sign, by owner. Are you listening to me? I'm sitting there, I walk to this window, I walk to this window. Every car that came up, I was looking, you know, just like this. Becky's going, oh, God, please help this man. He's all day long, I refused to leave the house. 6:30 that night, I was standing then in the living room. And here comes a car. There's the dead end. Here's my house. Here comes the car. The lights are on because it's now dark. Slowly going up, comes to the little cul-de-sac, turns, you know, and I'm watching. You understand? Stops in front of the house. And I'm going, oh, God. This woman gets out. She walks up to the sidewalk. She knocks upon the door. I open the door, and she said, this house is for sale, isn't it? Maybe. No. No. Yes. Yes, it is. And she said, I'm from Colorado. When I was a little girl, I grew up on this street, and my dream was to always live in this house. She said, we're retiring. And if you don't have any offers, I would like to buy it. I said, you want to sign right here? Now listen, she bought my house. God's word came true. Now listen to me now. Listen very carefully. This is so important that we all understand this. The moment that Jesus told the nobleman said, go your way, thy son liveth. That very minute, he was healed. Amen? Okay, now watch. The very moment at 5:30 a.m. that morning when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it didn't, that wasn't, laying my hand on that was not, that was a point of contact for me, for my faith. That there was no power in that, whatever that was. Do you understand that? It was nothing. Obedience. Will you do that? Will you do something that sounds stupid and crazy? Will you go dip 7 times in the Jordan and see if and wash away your leprosy? Are you following me? Will you do something that sounds so ridiculous? Would you put your hand in that little cartoon hand and pray? Okay, Lord. Obedience. The moment I obeyed, my prayer, what I needed, was manifested immediately. It was done. Do you understand? At 5:30 a.m., my house sold that minute. That minute. Why? God sent his word. Do you understand that? And it manifested at 6:30 p.m. the same day. Listen, it's not about seeing and then believing. It's about believing and then seeing God do what he says he can do. That's how it happens. That's why it's so important today. Look at that in verse 51 quickly. And it says, and he was going down, the nobleman and his servants met him and told him, said, oh, listen, your son, he lives. The exact same thing, pardon me, that Jesus told him. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better or when he was made whole. And they said to him, well, yesterday, the 7th hour, the fever left him. The 7th hour. Was it 1 p.m. or was it 7 p.m. Roman time? I don't know. But I know it was the 7th hour it left him. Now listen, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives, that he was made whole. Amen. It was at the same hour, 5:30 a.m., when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, your home, the house is sold today. It will sell today. It was done. It was done immediately, even though it wasn't manifested in my personal life until that evening. And he himself, the nobleman, look what it says, he believed. What did he believe? Not the healing. He believed in Jesus as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Do you follow me? He believed that he was who he said he was. And not only that, his whole household believed. They were all born again. In other words, he led them all to the Lord, his servants, everybody. And this, again, is the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea to Galilee. The first sign, remember, the disciples believed. Now the second sign, the nobleman and all of his household believed. What does this teach us? Man, listen, God can do anything. He just speaks a word. Distance means nothing to the Lord. Do you understand? That's why when we pray, prayer knows no distance. We can pray for Poland. We can pray all over the world. No, it does. No. It was what we call a long-distance miracle. Amen? 20 miles away. You see, seeing is not believing, loved one. Believing God is when you see. Whenever Thomas, and it's time to go home, I know, but listen, whenever Thomas, the disciple, remember when after the resurrection of Jesus, he was appearing to his disciples and he was in an upper room, walked through the wall, peace be unto you, but Thomas was not there. And the rest of the disciples, oh, they were glad, it says they rejoiced, you know, and so forth. And then Thomas shows up after Jesus has left. And he goes, you know what, unless I can stick my finger into the nail prints of his hands or into his side, I'm not going to believe. And then Jesus immediately walked through the wall. Hey, Thomas, don't you love the Lord? Does he have humor? He goes up to him and says, Thomas, here, stick your finger in him. Come on, here's my side. You know, do not be unbelieving, Jesus said to Thomas, but be ye believing. And you know what Thomas did? Oh, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus looked at Thomas and he says, oh, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed, oh, how happy, to be envied, the word blessed, to be envied, to be fortunate. Oh, how happy, oh, blessed be those who have not seen me and yet believe. Believing God's word is seeing the reward. Let him manifest it in his own time, in his own way. Don't put obligations and conditions upon the way God does things. Amen? He didn't call you to do that. He called you and he called me to believe his word. And he will never, ever fail you. That's why we have to renew our minds to the Word of God. Now listen, you may be listening live right now. You know, all over the nation, people listen, all over the world. I'm thankful for that. Praise God. You may be in the overflow area in the front lobby because you're afraid now of water. Or you may be sitting in this chapel. You may be a prodigal son or daughter. You may not even know Jesus as your Lord. And you might be saying, you know, well, I don't know Jesus. You know, I'm not a Christian. And you might be saying, you know what? You know, if you just show me that you're real, do something. That's what everybody wanted then and now. Signs and wonders. Show me. If you'll do that, I'll believe. I tell you what Jesus would tell you. Jesus would say, believe now, and I will show you. Believe right now, and I will show you. Because seeing is not believing, but believing is seeing. God's word says the word of God is near you. It's even at your mouth. The word of faith, Paul said that we preach the gospel, the good news, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe here in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Here's the promise. Here's the living word. God says, I will save you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying, loved one, listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is coming again. If you don't know Christ as Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, this is only between you and me and God. No one else. This is just your time. It's a holy time. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you're saying, you know what, I am a prodigal. Bill, I just kind of stumbled in here. No, you didn't. God brought you here. Don't run from God. Run to him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you can. You say, well, Bill, how? If you will stay right where you're seated, don't get up, just stay right there now. And just lift your hand up and say, Bill, yeah, God bless you, that's right. God bless you. I see. Yes, I just want Bill. Yes, God bless you. I just want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to be saved. Just those, and anyone else, say, that's me. Just lift your hand. Put it right back down. My last call. Anyone else, if you feel the tug, thank you, God bless you. You feel the tug of God upon your heart, please don't resist it. This may be your last opportunity. Anyone else, before I close in prayer, say, Bill, that's me. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to put it back down. Anyone else? Then you who lifted your hands, listen carefully. You pray this prayer with me right now, and God's going to save you. Church, help me out. Say, Father, I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. And by believing, I will see. So right this minute, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised, if I believe that, confess that, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. Be the Lord of my life. I am saved. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? We're going to close with a song, and listen carefully. Those who lifted your hands, soon as the song is over, there's going to be men and women down here that love people, that love you, and here's what they want to do. They just want to put a booklet into your hand, a wonderful booklet you need to take home, entitled Welcome to the Family of God. Please don't leave here without that. And if you prayed that prayer, you're listening live right now, and you prayed that prayer too, then just email me right this minute at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address, and I promise you that booklet, Welcome to the Family of God, will be mailed out to you immediately tomorrow morning. God is good. Amen. Oh, the great things that God is bringing.